our song ministry and songs we're singing, just adding some new songs, some old songs that are new, but three new hymnals that we've added, the Wilds, the Rejoice Hymnal, and the Celebration Hymnal, have some tremendous songs. I enjoyed singing As the Deer for the first time in about 4 or 5 years, and that was this past Sunday. That's one of my favorite songs, and these tonight were just good songs as well. James chapter 5 this evening, as we're looking at one of my favorite passages. In fact, I read through this passage every time as someone comes for an anointing with oil and with prayer for healing. And I'm glad there's a God in heaven who still hears. Amen? A God who still heals and a God who is still here. And I'm proud, praising the Lord for the truth tonight. In the book of James, James, the half-brother of our Lord, is writing. He's the pastor of the first church at Jerusalem. In fact, there are those that have studied out my family history and have said that there was a Shakur in the first church at Jerusalem. I don't know if that's accurate, but I'll claim it. That's pretty good. And it was one of my cousins had done the lineage back there. And so here's Pastor James, my relative, my ancestor's pastor, I guess. Pastor James is moved by the inspiration of the Spirit to address those who are hurting. Someone said, if you preach to the hurting, you'll always have an audience. Because every one of us tonight have hurts and have needs. And Pastor James is encouraging those that are hurting. Not only those that are hurting, but those that need help from temptation. Hey, there's another crowd. All of us face trials and temptation. And as Pastor James is writing, the Holy Spirit of God, you get to James chapter 5, and he addresses the subject of prayer. Now, if we're going to see revival this year at Tabernacle Baptist Church, it's going to be a revival of prayer. It's going to be a revival of men and women and boys and girls, young people, older people alike, seeking God and seeking the face of God when it comes to prayer. I'm excited about this men's prayer advance. I just like the fact that they call it an advance. It's not a retreat. They're not going back from anywhere. We're going forward. We're advancing. And it's so packed out. You know, today, Pastor Mike had a time adding my dad. And you're added, by the way. You can come. You can go. And, you know, I'm just excited. This place is going to be packed out. Over 1,000 men, I guess. And all of us hearing about prayer, worshiping the Lord, and praying. You know, the Word of God says, I will, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. And that's being in the presence of God. Like those priests that served at the temple and tabernacle, they would lift their hands. And it wasn't just an outward show. It definitely was not an outward show. It was an indication that they weren't involved in something else when they're lifting up their hands. It was also a demonstration that their hands weren't dirty as they were serving. And I thank the Lord is not just physically asking us to lift up the hands, but spiritually asking us to come with holiness before His throne. Come cleansed, come confessed before His very throne. So I just can't wait till Sunday when we come back and there's that touch of revival with the men that went. By the way, if you still want to come, they say there's no walk-on room, but I'm pretty sure that if you show up and you walk in and try to sit in the pew, they're not going to kick you out. So I encourage you, if you're a man, now if you're a lady, you want to come, it's a men's prayer advance. But for men, just come on up, even if it's just one night, Friday night, you know, come Friday night to the service, Priceline a hotel, go back that night if you have to, but stay the morning and make your way there. So even if you show up at 7 o'clock, we'll find a place for you. You'll probably see our church men in the choir. That's a requirement. If you're going to be on the trip, you have to join the choir, be a part of that choir. I don't know if we announced that or not. But I was looking at the passage tonight. Let's look at this passage on prayer. James chapter 5, look at verse number 13. James says, is any among you afflicted? That's a question you can ask tonight. Are you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry or happy? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. By the way, I don't see an expiration on that promise. That was not just Old Testament. It's not just some sort of transitional acts. This is the first church practicing, promoting, expecting prayer and anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. It's here in the text. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. There is so much about prayer in this one passage. There is personal prayer. There's prayer. There's praise, which is a form of prayer. There is public prayer. There is private prayer of anointing with oil. There is personal a prayer request, praying. There's intercession. There is confession. There is supplication. There's so much prayer in this passage tonight. So let's study it. Let's get a head start, men, on the Med's Prayer Advance. And let's pray. I'm going to encourage you to pray for us while we're gone. Pray that God would touch that meeting. And let's take this tonight and really pray on this. Look at this. Look at that phrase. The final phrase in verse number 16. Powerful statement. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The words effectual and fervent is one word. The phrase, effectual, fervent, is not two words, it's one word. It's energeo. Do you see here the word energy? It's translated as working elsewhere in the Bible. So the effectual, fervent prayer is a description of a working prayer. The phrase availeth much is the word eskuo polus. You say, what does that mean? Okay. The idea is the working prayer is this force. Isko polus is a word used in Greek for a powerful force like a hurricane. So here's the idea. The working prayer, described as effectual and fervent, of one who was righteous, is an unmatched, prevailing force with a power like a hurricane. Do you pray like that? I want to pray like that. It's praying through until you have the peace of His will or the promise of His word. Have you plugged in to that kind of prayer? I've heard of a woodsman who went to a hardware store to buy a new axe, and the salesman sold him a chainsaw and promised that, listen, I know you've got an axe, but if you get this chainsaw, you can cut down 100 trees a day. So he said, all right, I'll do it. And he went home, and he came back, and he said, this thing doesn't work. I only got three. I worked all day, and I've been working on it and working on it hard. And he said, well, you got to go back, and it will work a little harder, and it will happen. So he came back, and he finally came back, and he said, I got five. He said, you promised 20. I've got five with this just one chainsaw. And he said, well, what seems to be the problem? He said, it's broken. It's got to be broken. So they took it, and the first thing he did, and the man went back to the back, and he said, I'll try it out. And all of a sudden, he plugged it in, and he heard, rum, 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 and the man goes, what's that noise? He had been hacking away at the tree without it being plugged in. Now you say, well, it's better to crank it out. Let me tell you tonight, are you plugged in? Are you cranked up when it comes to prayer? Or are you just hacking away with nothing happening? James closes with the power of prayer. The theme of James is persecution. They're in divers trials. They're afflicted. The word afflicted here is the same word in chapter 1, referring to those that are in suffering in prayer. And chapter 1 says that I'm asking faith, nothing wavering. For those who are double-minded or unstable on all their ways, we're to go to our throne in prayer, not to be double-minded, but to have faith when it comes to prayer. So James is saying, don't be double-minded. Believe God when you pray. Have faith when you pray. Some illustrations here and some issues and circumstances of life that we really should plug into the power of prayer. By the way, on some of these, you will by nature automatically do it because you'll know that you need God. as a reminder tonight, when you are praying, plug into the power of prayer. First of all, I believe James is saying during emotional changes in your life. During emotional changes in your life. Look at the text. Three questions take our attention. First, is any among you afflicted? Is any among you merry? Look at this. It says, is any sick? Okay, so we could say these three questions represent the good times and the bad times. When you're hurt, pray. When you're happy, praise. Pray. See, the hurting should pray, the happy should praise. The questions are the normal and natural afflictions of life. It could be economic loss, it could be bereavement, it could be illness, it could be blessing. The text here says when we are afflicted, we should pray. Romans 8:23 reveals that we groan. How many of you know it's true that your body is groaning, creaking? You know, Ecclesiastes talks about the body and it, we're awaiting the redemption of the body. And if we're afflicted, when we're afflicted, we should pray. And I don't believe necessarily, and before we get to the anointing with oil and praying in the name of the Lord, understand that the prayer in the text is not at first for escape, but primarily what's being presented here, the text, is for endurance. Look at verse number 10. James chapter 5, verse number 10. It says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of what? Suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy, which, what? Endure. Not escaped. I think a lot of times in our prayer meeting, we're praying for sick people to keep them out of heaven instead of praying for lost people to get them into heaven. Amen? I mean, I think we got it backwards. I think the priorities need to be important and strengthened. You see, when you're hurting, the first prayer is not necessarily, get me out of this. The first prayer is, what's your will in this? Lord, strengthen me. Help me. Help me. You see, that's what you're really needing is the help and the strength of God. Now, it may be for healing. It may be for just wisdom with what to do with doctors and maybe for just how to think and how to process information financially. But the prayer that must be on our heart is for God's strength and God's help and God's peace. So we're praying according to His will. We're praying that way. Now, the next question is this. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now, singing psalms, if you look through the book of Psalms, what is unique about the book of Psalms? They are, many times, prayers. Inspired prayers by David to God. Do you know that singing really is prayer? You say, what's prayer? Well, prayer is talking to God. And when you're singing, when you're worshiping, as far as it comes to worship, you are worshiping God. You're praying. You're talking to Him. And praise is a form of prayer. The word for sing here is the Greek word for solo. You know, when God helps you and you're happy, don't forget God. You know, a lot of times it's easy to pray when we're hurting. When's the last time you prayed when you were happy? And just thank the Lord and praise the Lord. Be sure to praise the Lord. It's this. You know, praise Him, pray when you feel like it, pray when you don't feel like it, pray until you feel like it. Get plugged in to the power of prayer when it comes to emotional changes, because you may be on a mountain today, but you may be in the valley tomorrow. Learn what it's like to praise Him on the mountain so you can pray when you're in the valley. In the days of your life, no matter what you're going through, don't forget God. Be sure to pray, be sure to praise. Pray and pray during emotional changes. Number two, pray during physical conditions. Look at verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. What does that mean? Now, I believe the name it, claim it crowd has scared many people away from this passage. It does not say that we should name it and claim it. It does not say that a person who does not get healing doesn't have enough faith. But it does say here that there is a protocol to follow when it comes to praying publicly and asking for healing. If someone is perishing, they should ask, and the pastor should anoint. The word sick here is interesting. It doesn't mean necessarily someone who has a head cold. The word sick in the Greek text shows a serious condition. I don't want to go ins completely ins and outs of the verse. The idea is someone has the serious condition, let him ask for prayer from the elders. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. When the word oil here, it means oil. Think of, I remember I was in a seminary class and I got out of the class and one of my coworkers that the ministry was involved in was trying to theorize, and he had some article from some pastor out there, and he said, I think oil, if you look at it, I think oil really is medicine. He said, it's going to be medicine. He said, remember the Good Samaritan poured in the oil and the wine, and so what someone's sick, what they should do is call, and I said, okay, hold on a second. So if you're going to follow that logically, sometimes people have a little excuse and then they don't follow it through. I said, that means that when someone's sick, instead of calling for the doctor, they should call for their pastor, and the pastor's going to administer the medicine. Listen, I know I got my doctorate, but I don't want to fill your prescriptions. You go to your medical doctor for medical aspects. This has nothing to do with medicine here. This has nothing to do with pouring in oil. It's pouring on oil, that symbol of the Holy Ghost, and the consecration and the dedication that will happen. That is, when God does this, God's going to get the glory. Not man, not medication. God's going to get the glory. By the way, how many of you know that there's two healing hands of Jesus? Care, medical care, and prayer. God gives wisdom to doctors when it comes to healing and for help. When it comes to the prayer of faith, it's going to God. You say, that's just strange. I don't want to do this. I don't know what this is like. No statute of limitations on this verse. This is written to New Testament believers, and it's for today. You say, it's weird. So they're going to anoint me with oil. We got some oil here. We got some oil back there. In fact, if someone comes, we anoint them with oil. Why? Because the Bible says oil. Well, why? God said it. That settles it. Think of Naaman. When Naaman was told to dunk himself 7 times into the dirty Jordan River, and Naaman's going, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And Elisha looks back and says, if he asked for a room full of gold, you would have done it, or silver, you would have paid for it. He said, just get down there. What happened? The 7th time, it got the job done. He was healed. I believe tonight in healing. I don't believe in healers. He's the healer. He's Jehovah Rapha, the healer. If anybody comes to you and says, I'm going to set up a tent, and you need me in order to get the healing, you just make sure that you don't leave an offering, but go directly to God himself. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I believe in healing. I believe that God has a protocol to follow, and these are called. We're coming together to pray over anointing with oil. See, oil in the Old Testament was an act of anointing, was an act of consecration. Oil is that symbol, as you mentioned, of the Holy Spirit of God. And when we're anointing someone who's sick and perishing with sickness, they're saying, this one, like Hezekiah, who said, listen, I don't want to die right now because I want God to use me for a purpose. And if it's God's will and it's God wants us to do this, we're anointing him with oil and we're praying in faith, we are saying, we are dedicating this one for the furtherance of your service. And God, if you were to step in, and God, if you were to heal this one, he'll take that healing, she'll take that healing and go on and serve you. I have seen it time and time again here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. I believe there are some here tonight that can give testimony to the healing hand of Jesus when it comes to anointing with oil and with prayer. I could put some folks on the spot, but I won't do that. Maybe I'll ask for testimonies. I'm telling tonight, God heals. God hears. God helps. God's here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. James says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Not just any prayer, but the specific Holy Ghost utterance of faith will heal. I believe that's when you know it's the Spirit that is praying, because it's God's will. It's the Spirit of God praying for his will to be done. John R. Rice wrote about healing. By the way, one of the best books you ever read is Prayer, Asking and Receiving by John Rice. Power of Pentecost is a good one too. I believe a lot of folks that need to read those books and read the Bible and how these quote all the scriptures, because he knew what it was like to pray. And what it was to seek God. And John Rice said this, in my own experience, after I prayed about the sick, I have sometimes felt clearly that God had some other reason for keeping the person sick, and I could not have faith for his or her healing. I've been there. In a few cases, I have felt God would not heal because blessing was prevented by some sin. That's going to go on the next part of the passage. But in the great majority of cases where Christians seem honestly to forsake sin and wait on God to find his will about sickness, he has healed the sick. Healing is the normal and to be expected thing for the Christian in the will of God. We need to get back. We need to get back to that kind of faith. The normal and to be expected thing for the Christian in the will of God. But if he has another purpose, he'll reveal that. He'll give you the peace that passes all understanding about it. But if he can give you the prayer of faith to pray through and pray on, that's the desire. If that's the desire God's placed in your heart, you should ask and you should anoint. But the text goes on. You see, a lot of times, specifically in this passage, the sickness that has happened in this case is because of some other issues. Notice in the text, during sinful choices, notice in the Word of God, verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And it's interesting, the text goes on, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if, now there are those that say healing is for this kind of anointing, is for those that have sin and they're coming back to the church and they're sick because they're sinful. It says if, not because. So there are some conditions where God judges because of sin. We're going to see that in a second. But it's not all the case here. That's not all the case. Anointing is not all for that. But if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So the sinner should confess, the Savior will cleanse here in the text. Look, sometimes our sickness is the result of sin. By the way, all sickness actually is the result of sin. It's the result of Adam's sin. Remember when Adam sinned, and the Bible says that sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death had passed upon all men because all have sinned. You would never have any sickness, never have any trouble. We would be living in the Garden of Eden if it were not for Adam's sin in the garden. But praise God for the second Adam, who has given us that restoration. Sometimes sickness is a result of God's judgment. Now, you know this to be true. If you have a root of bitterness tonight, that root will kill you. Unforgiveness is like eating poison to kill the other person. It'll kill you. If you have aught in your heart against a brother, and there's weakness, I have met those with ulcers as the result of unrighteous worry. And the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, everything with prayer and supplication, and anger and resentment at others. I've met people that have that. Sin, there's a man I met that had an eye ailment, and he confessed his sin with pornography, and it went away. Not in this ministry, but ministry I was at before. He had eye trouble, and we prayed, and he confessed it. 1 Corinthians says this, when there are those weak and sickly among you who've not rightly discerned the Lord's body. So if someone comes to the house of God, and by the way, the Lord's table is a very serious thing. We're not to take it lightly. Those that are, he said, they're weakly and sickly among you because they're not discerning the Lord's body. They're going through it just through the motions. They're not confessed up. They're not prayed up. They're not cleansed. And they take of the Lord's body. The Bible says that they'll be weak and sickly. Not all weak and sickly people are those that haven't partaken of the Lord's table correctly, but it's in the Word of God. We have to teach it and preach it. The Scripture says those that are in sin in the church, and by the way, this is a church that practices biblical church discipline. Now, it's not bragging. That's saying we need to pray towards this because it's a serious thing. When somebody comes and there's a sin, we don't just broadcast it to everybody because, by the way, we'd have to line up and everybody would just be here all service long just confessing sins publicly, by the way. But when there's someone who has been approached from Matthew 18 personally, confidentially, confirmationally with two or three witnesses, and then congregationally, the Bible says when that person is cast out, they are cast out for Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that their soul may be saved. So when somebody is cast out of the church because of sin, if they know Jesus as their Savior, and they experience the judgment of God, don't you know, praise God, they can come back for forgiveness. They can come back for healing. I believe this is what it is speaking about. There are those who, if you're struggling with a sin tonight, get some prayer on it. Pray. If you're struggling with something, and maybe it's a sickness, and I don't know what it is, and by the way, don't leave here tonight saying, preacher said if you get sick, it's because you've got some kind of hidden sin. That is not what I'm saying tonight at all. But the Holy Ghost, if he reveals to you a sin that is tied to a physical issue, that has to be the Holy Spirit. You bring it before his throne, get covered by the blood, get cleansing, come for prayer, get anointed with oil over it in the name of the Lord. And it says when you do that, publicly restoring yourself before the people of God in the presence of God, God says he will heal and he will hear. All those that come to him, aren't you glad tonight, he will in no wise cast out. There's nobody that's going to come and say, preacher, I believe the Lord has laid in my heart. He's convicted me. I've got this issue physically because the Spirit revealed there's this issue spiritually, and so I'm confessing it. There's no one, God's not going to look at you and say, get away. You've gone too far. You've done too much. Sinful choices. Finally, during spiritual connections, look at verse 16. And here's what we also need to be doing. Confess your faults. Look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. So now we're talking physical healing, but we're also talking spiritual healing. So before we take one phrase, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, understand that primarily the context here is someone in sin that we struggle with, in situations that we deal with, that we need to be seeking God in his presence in prayer. And if we've got a sin that we're struggling with and we've got faults in our life, we need to be confessing them one to another, praying one for another that ye may be healed. One of the greatest healing that will happen in your heart is the healing of your conscience. The peace that passes all understanding. How many of you know you can go through physical pain, but when you've got peace that passes all understanding, you lay your head in the pillow and you have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man, you can deal with a whole lot in your life if you've got the peace of God in the direction of God in your life. Let me encourage you tonight. Do you have an accountability partner? Is there someone that knows you? Is there somebody that you are accountable to? There's 10 questions of those accountability partners that I have in my life. And by the way, this is, someone put it like this. There are three people you ought to have in your life. A Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. What does it mean? A Paul is someone you're learning from. A Barnabas is someone you're walking with and serving with. A Timothy is someone you're pouring into. Do you have a Paul? Do you have a Barnabas? Do you have a Timothy? The Bible says, confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. I heard of the three men that gathered together, and one confessed the sin of lying, the other confessed the sin of lust, and the third was quiet. And they said, what's wrong with you? Why can't you confess? He said, well, my sin is gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here. Now, sometimes we get the idea that if we confess our fault to somebody, they're going to go and tell everybody about it. Have you figured this out, that people really don't want to hear about you or your problem or issues like that? But if you find someone you truly trust and you get it clear before you start that this is confidential, it's confidential in the sense that I'm confessing this to you, God can heal you so powerfully. Now, I wish I could go into depth on how powerful this is, because psychologists have seen the power in this and they don't even know what it is. Did you know that if you're struggling with anxiety and depression, just by verbalizing it to someone you trust, it takes the burden off of you, and it actually reduces. One of the top prescriptions of people who go through anxiety and worry and issues of life is to go find three people they trust and share it with them. And when you share it with them, now there's someone else who has heard about it. Just by verbalizing it, you're actually partially healed. The Bible said that a long time ago. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill ye the law of Christ. An old man is an island. If you're just a person that just keeps to yourself and you don't share anything with anybody, you probably have a whole lot of pain and anxiety and fear on the inside. That doesn't mean you just bubble everywhere and just let it out. That means you find people that you know will pray for you and pray with you, and you share with them what's going on in your heart. And by the way, listen more than you talk. God's given you two ears and one mouth for a reason. If you've been around somebody and you're talking to them and you're trying to get a conversation in and it's all about their issues and struggles, How about you go to somebody and listen and ask them how they're doing? And it's going to be healing for you. It's going to be healing for them. I have 10 questions that we ask. Number one is, have you spent daily time in the Scripture and in prayer? Good question. Amen. Number two, have you had any lustful attitudes or exposed yourself to materials that would not glorify God? Number three, are you completely been above reproach in your financial dealings? Number four, have you spent quality relationship time with family and friends? Number five, have you done your 100% best in your job ministry? Number six, have you told any half-truths or outright lies, putting you in a better light than those around you? Number seven, have you shared the gospel with an unbeliever this week? Number eight, have you taken care of your body through daily physical exercise and proper eating, sleeping habits? Number nine, have you allowed any person or circumstance to rob you of your joy? Number 10, my favorite one, have you lied to us on any of your answers today? You know, the question that when we first started this, I'm looking through it and I'm like, I don't know if I can really do this. I've done the accountability program every year with men from this church. And I can honestly answer to you that number 10, I've answered it truthfully every time. I've not lied in any of the questions. Conscience, vote of offense toward God and towards man. But you know the question that really tripped me up every single time? Wouldn't you want to hear? Wouldn't you want to know? It's just me and you and the radio. But number 9, I haven't memorized. Have you allowed any person or circumstance to rob you of your joy? And I didn't even realize it. But because, I guess because I'm a middle child, I like to make everybody happy. But I was allowing people to rob me of my joy. Do you realize this, that if people rob you of your joy, your source of joy was not in Christ, it's in people. Nobody should rob you of your joy. You may not like your job, you may not like where you're at or where you're going, you may not like the traffic or somebody who cut you off, but you've got Jesus, you can have joy. Amen? It was actually about a year, year and a half, 2 years in the accountability program, I finally said, I am tired of answering that question, that somebody robbed me of my joy. So I prayed about it, sought God's power. Guess what? Praise God, I'm not saying it's perfect. And I know this week probably somebody's really going to try to tempt me on that one. But I'm telling you this. I praise God for his healing when it comes to not allowing a person or circumstance to rob me of my joy. What is it tonight you need healing from? Pray with, pray on. Praise God for our altar working team. Because everybody, all of us, we all need to be together praying one for another. You may be healed. We're going to have it on the men's prayer advance. We're going to be praying and seeking God's face. James continues and closes with the example of Elijah. Let's look at this. Elijah, he uses in verse 17. Elijah prayed. Let's look at Elijah's prayer. Verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not upon the earth but the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again and the heaven gave rain and earth brought forth her fruit. The account of Elijah is found in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, did Elijah just stand up and say, all rain is going to stop? No, he said, according to my word. Now, here's how to plug into the power of prayer. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, look back at Deuteronomy chapter 11. Elijah didn't just randomly claim something. He had the prayer of faith based upon the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 11, God promised the early and latter rain. But there's a curse in Deuteronomy 11, verse 17, that Elijah, because he knew God's word, was able to claim it by faith. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 17, says clearly, "In the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord giveth you." You see, God had promised to Israel that if you are doing this, and you're involved in idolatry, and you're in the land, and you're not keeping the commandments, then God has said, according to his word, that he will shut up the heavens, that there be no rain. You see, Elijah knew God's word so well, he was able to claim God's word powerfully. Verse number 17, he prayed and it rained again. You see, he understood that when he was praying, he wasn't just randomly claiming things. He was going to God's word in prayer. You see, if you want to have an effectual working prayer tonight, if you want to have a powerful prayer, get plugged into the word of God. 365 promises in this book, one for every day. Go to the promises and prophecies of God's word. and claim those by faith. You can name it and claim it if it's in the book. Illustrate. God has not promised healing for everybody here. He doesn't promise that here, because we're going to be in heaven someday. Everybody's going to die. But God, the Spirit of God, can direct your heart to pray a certain way. But that's not claiming it. But God does promise this. He promises that when His Spirit is come, John chapter 16, that the Holy Ghost will reprove every man of sin because they believe not the truth. So when you're praying for the soul of someone who needs to be saved, you can pray in faith. You have promised Holy Spirit to convict and reprove everybody of sin that doesn't believe in you. So based upon your word, I ask that the conviction upon this person would be so strong that you would open their heart and they would come to that place to make a decision for Christ. That's God's word. That's His real word. He will have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. In fact, I may one message give to you all of God's promises when it comes to His will and His word that we can ask for. And He wants us to ask for them. You see, the word of God says that when we pray according to His will, He hears us. In other words, when we get a hold of His word and we start claiming His word, don't you like it when somebody quotes you and somebody's claiming, reminding you of what you've already said and what you've done? God loves it when we pray and we take His word and we say, God, You've said this. And You've said them because You've said it, I'm asking in faith and believing that You'll do it. That's the prayer of faith. That's claiming the word of God. Elijah knew God's word and said he wasn't winging it. He knew God's word. You see, the prayer of Elijah recorded in James 5 was not when the fire came down from heaven. That was a special supernatural manifestation. And by the way, fire can fall from heaven in your life in manifestations and supernatural means. But that's not the prayer that was highlighted. The prayer that was highlighted that we should point to and pray like is not calling down fire from heaven. It's calling down His word that has been revealed from heaven. And claiming the word of God in a powerful, personal way. It starts with you getting plugged in to this more sure word of prophecy. It's you praying through until you have the peace of His will and the perspective and the promise of His word. And it's praying according to His will, according to His word, in that it will be done. Here's what you can pray for. I can pray for somebody for wisdom because it's promised to all those that ask. And I can pray with somebody for wisdom. I can pray and ask for myself for Holy Spirit filling because it's His will. I can pray and ask for forgiveness and cleansing from sin because He's promised that when we ask ask for forgiveness and ask for that cleansing, He will do so. It has less to do with the resolve that you have and has more to do with the revelation that He's left for us. That's prayer. Leonard Ravenhill said this, "No man is greater than his prayer life. A pastor who is praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers. Many singers, few clingers. A lot of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. Failing here in prayer, we fail everywhere. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Just stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Whatever prayer you may have in your heart tonight, the altars are open. We encourage you to pray according to the peace of His will and the promise of His word. Oh, pray like Elijah, a man subject to like passions like we were, but a man who knew God's word. Maybe you just need to get plugged into the word of God more. When you come across a passage and promise of Scripture, would you pray it? Maybe you know someone in your life right now that needs the promise of God's word when it comes to salvation and conviction and conviction of the Holy Spirit. Whatever your prayer is tonight, would you pray? I believe it's God's will for the men who go on the retreat tomorrow to experience revival. I know it's God's will. Would you pray that God would revive us again, that we may rejoice in Him? God would give us a little touch of heaven. God would give you and your family. It's God's will for marriages to be successful. It's God's will for you to win your coworkers to Christ. The altars are open this morning. Whatever your spiritual need is, would you come and pray and seek His face and ask for His guidance, for the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with prayers which cannot be uttered as we seek His face tonight.